Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Panelcast. I'm your host, AJ.
This is Brian.
This week, we're going to be going through our normal trifecta of generic stuff, meaning we'll be talking about comic books, some video games, some movie news, you know, the usual stuff. We'll also be telling you the winner of the trivia contest that we held in the last episode, as well as a whole bunch of other goody-goody-goody generic stuff. So kick back, relax, and we'll be right back with episode 31 of the Panelcast.
Hi, I'm a chick, and I read comic books and play video games, and yes, I am attractive. And whenever I need new information, I head over to Forbidden Panel and look for new geeks to seduce. And
sorry. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. And we're going to get started here with a little bit of news and what's going on in the comic and movie world. Got a few interesting things. One of the articles that I saw on Wired. Wired has this segment that they call Geek Dad with different writers. It basically writing about being geeks and, you know, raising children that are geeks as well. And one of the articles that I read here, I kind of liked because the guy talks about basically using comic books as a way to teach his children how to read, which it kind of appeals to me in two ways. One, because, you know, I like comic books, and also because I'm a very big proponent of literacy, and I think that really anything that people can do to promote literacy is a good thing. And comic books really, honestly, are a good way to promote children because it gives them something interesting to read. A lot of comics out there, especially depending on the age of the child, you know, have really interesting storylines, and it gives them something that they can look forward to reading, and I think that's really cool. But really, I think if anybody out there has any children, they may want to hop over to Wired.com and look at the articles that are up there in the Geek Dad. I've read a few of them, and even though I don't have any children of my own, I think that the articles are pretty cool because it talks about how to sort of present geeky stuff to your children, and I think it also shows how you can present these things to kids and get them to realize that there's nothing wrong with being a geek, or there's nothing wrong with liking geeky stuff and being smart and being an intelligent person.
Yeah, that's funny. That's how I learned a lot of the vocabulary and stuff from which I know was through reading comic books and stuff, because I couldn't, you know, while reading them, any of the words I didn't understand, I would either pop up the dictionary or call up my dad, you know. What does this mean? What does this mean? I ended up learning a lot. Also, thanks to the X-Men, learned a lot of phrases in Russian and German, you know, due to Colossus and Nightcrawler conversating.
Nightcrawler.
You know, so, I mean, yeah, comic books is any type of medium where reading is involved is going to advance anybody's education, with the exception of maybe Betty and Veronica and Archie. That actually makes you stupider. But everything else, you know, just by reading something, it'll advance you. And reading comic books is obviously a great venue as well, because you get to, again, advance your vocabulary as well as learn to appreciate art and with all the images that are portrayed in the comic.
Right. Plus, it'll also give kids a little bit of an introduction, too, so that they can start being introduced to more advanced comics. You know, obviously, I would say that reading something like Frank Miller's Dark Knight or Watchmen definitely would be more along the lines of reading actual literature. And, you know, some people would disagree, but those stories have a lot more in them, and I think that using comics, obviously not as the only means of teaching children how to read, but as a tool to teach children how to read is a good idea.
Well, definitely. I mean, it goes the same with using phonetics and using cards, flashcards and everything to teach children how to learn words and stuff. I mean, at least now you have, you know, comic books. So there you go.
Right. Let's see, what else have we got? There's a little bit of mainstream media furor over X Factor number 45, where apparently two male characters shared their first kiss, and so it prompted a little bit of attention over, you know, gay couple in comic books, which is kind of funny considering the fact that the two characters, which I believe were Shatterstar and Richter, mm-hmm. I'm not too familiar with X Factor, but they definitely are not the first gay characters in comic books. There's actually been quite a number of gay characters out there, some of them more prominent than others. So it's funny to me every time something like that comes up and the media is just like, oh, look at these, you know, gay characters kissing, and it just seems like the media is not really living in the real world. It's just every time that they have something, or it seems like they're kind of insinuating that, well, having gay characters in comic books is going to corrupt children or some stupid thing like that. And
it's funny that this comes up now, being that, you know, gays in comics has been something that's been happening for a long time. I mean, where were they 4 years ago when Colossus in the Ultimate Universe is gay, a drug enforcer, as well as, you know, a mutant? So, and even in current ones, not really in current ones, but in other storylines in the X-Men, Northstar is a gay character and proud of it. About 6 years ago, they were talking about how the Beast might have been gay. You know, this is not new news, people. You know, so to see this in a comic book recently, for you to be bringing up the fight to fight now, is like saying, well, you know, let me bring up a fight now that I know I'm definitely going to lose. Whereas if I would have brought it up maybe 15 years ago, I would have had a fighting chance of actually substantiating my opinion. You're too late, people.
Right.
Get over it. You know, we've seen it. It happens.
And
next, you know.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty much sort of. I'm not really sure what's the word I'm thinking of. It's not common, but it's pretty much sort of a. Damn it! I can't think of the word that I want to use. But basically, what I'm trying to say is that. It seems like freaking out now over gay characters in comic books is just, it's pointless. It just seems like it's some, you know, someone's last-ditch attempt to kind of hang on to their prejudice. And especially with comic books, because it seems like comic books was one of the first mediums to really try to portray gay characters in a positive light to a white audience. I mean, there's always been sort of gay and lesbian fiction and stuff out there, but it always catered to a more select group in terms of its readership. And comics, you know, they introduce characters that they've already had established and then add this element of their sexuality in there and still show them as being these badasses that can stop crimes and do something else. It just kind of added in as like an aspect of their character and not something that's like, well, this is, you know, the gay character so-and-so. It's just, it's a part of who they are.
Right. Even so, to go as far back as The Authority, which, Brian, as you know, is one of my favorite comic books out there, which came out in, 1999? And his two main characters are gay lovers. So,
right.
That was 10 years ago. Where were you then? It's a moot point at this point to be arguing or having this conversation, or to have this being brought up from somebody, you know. So
yeah,
what?
It really is.
They're gay. Get over it. Next, you know.
Yeah. Another interesting piece is that... of course, this is being done by Blue Water Productions, because who else is going to do it? But there's a Michael Jackson tribute comic coming up. I don't know that I'm actually going to bother to read it, because I don't really care. I mean, yeah, it's sad Michael Jackson died and everything, but I'm not going to go buy a Michael Jackson tribute comic. Yeah. It's not going to have anything in it that that is really going to appeal to me at all. I like his early music from like around the 80s, maybe into the early 90s, and that's about all I need of Michael Jackson. I don't care about anything else, honestly.
You know, honestly, this is probably something we should address real quick here on the show, because we didn't talk about it last week or anything like that. Yes, Michael Jackson passed, and as an artist and everything, you know, he'll be sorely missed. He was a groundbreaking, amazing artist, musically. He just did things that had never been done. So for that, he gets my respect. But I can't ignore
right.
all the personal things that had happened, that were brought up in the news, all the allegations that were brought up against him. I can't ignore that. So as far as that goes, I didn't know the man personally, so I can't pass judgment on it. All I can say is, yeah, it sucks because a good artist has passed away. But, you know, our condolences out to the families and everything, and it's sad. But that's it. That's all I've got to say on the matter. You know, again, I didn't know the man. We didn't hang out.
Right.
You know, I never visited Neverland Ranch, thankfully. So I can't say anything other than, you know, it's sad to see a soul has passed on. And for that, you know, again, my condolences to the family.
If anything, I would say that I was probably a little more upset that Billy Mays died.
Yeah, no kidding.
I've never actually bought any of those products, but that guy was just endlessly entertaining.
You know,
and then I caught a few of the episodes of his TV show.
Right.
Which was, that was pretty interesting, too, because it actually kind of showed that he wasn't just a shill. You know, he cared about the products that he was selling, so he at least personally was interested in it and wasn't just there to do it for the money, although he did make shitloads of money.
You know, whenever I saw any of the infomercials with him on it, you know, the first time I saw him on a show, I thought, oh my god, this guy's way over the top. But then as time led on, I realized, okay, well, if there's any products that I'm going to trust and want to buy, it's going to be the one that he's promoting. So, again, it's sad to see someone like that having passed on as well. It's sad that everybody had passed on. Ed McMahon, Farrah Fawcett, Billy Mays,
right.
Michael Jackson, and yesterday someone else had passed away. I can't remember who. But it seems
like, about it.
You know, a lot of people are passing on, and it's sad. But it's something we have to deal with because that's life.
Right. There's another interesting bit here, too. This was in, actually, was pretty excited about this. I remember when you were showing me the other day, we were hanging out, your little your phone that you have that has the comic book reader on it.
Right.
Well, I just saw this article. I almost peed my pants when I saw it. That they have actually for the Nintendo DSi will be having a comic book reader.
Nice.
Coming out for. So they'll actually be having comics on the DSi, and that's, I just seriously have a boner right now.
I did not need to know that.
Yeah. Looking at the article, the three free titles that are coming out with it are called Thunder Road, Onda's Game, and Misery Depot. Not familiar with those titles. They don't really say who did what. And they have a little bit of a synopsis of them. Comics, I'll probably give them a read and see if I can talk about them on a later podcast. But it definitely is something that I'm interested in. And looks like one of them, see, on this game number one, looking at the story here, says it was actually based off of a short story by Cory Doctorow, which is pretty cool because he's a pretty good writer. He writes a lot of science fiction, sort of similar in some ways to cautionary science fiction like George Orwell type things, where he writes about the ways in which people can use technology to sort of defend themselves from the government. But he also writes a lot too about how technology affects people's social lives, and he writes a lot of like social commentary kind of stuff, and he has some interesting things that I don't necessarily agree with all of his positions, but it'll be interesting to see the comics coming out. And just the fact that the DSi is going to be able to read comics, it excites me.
Awesome. So Now, the one thing, well, not the one thing, but one of the cool things I liked about my phone and made me feel all more superior than you is now a moot point. Thanks, Nintendo.
Well, look, I still can't make phone calls on my DSi, so got that over me.
Very true. Very, very true. And in case people are wondering, I have the Android G1, which was put out by T-Mobile, and I love this thing. I hate iPhone, and I hate all Apple products. Not that they don't deserve any of my respect, because they do, and they get my respect. I just hate them. So I have the Apple G1, which is an awesome phone, and I love it. And it does everything but wipe my butt. But I'm looking for the app which will allow it to do that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And let's see, another interesting thing here, and I'm actually going to be posting this on forums for everyone to go take a look at, because this is endlessly entertaining to me. The X-Men Universe relationship map is basically a flowchart of who banged who in the X-Men universe. And there's a lot of lines on this thing, let me tell you.
Well, everybody's been banging everybody. I mean, the comic book's been around, what, 30 years? So.
Yeah. There's quite a lot of them that end in Wolverine.
That little fucker gets around, man, I swear.
Yeah, it's freaking, it's awesome. So everyone needs to go see that. I'm not going to sit here and describe the whole thing, obviously, but I will put it up in the forums for people to go take a look at. Or if you just don't want to read my post on there, you can just Google it, I'm sure.
No. You will go to the forums and read it, damn it. You got nothing else to do the entire hour you're listening to our show. Cruise around the website. That's my new mandate.
That's true. We should make it, set it up so that it's impossible for people to leave our site while the podcast.
You know, I'm working on that. Don't give away too many secrets.
Well, I think that about wraps it up for the news, so we'll go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back.
PanelCast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to PanelCast. This segment, we're going to continue on with a little bit of new stuff. This week, we saw DC has released their panel listing for the San Diego Comic Convention, which is coming up soon. It'll be posted up on the website for you guys to check out, but it looks like some pretty interesting stuff going on. We got a DC talent surge, Superman will be going on in a couple of rooms, Vertigo and their new series that are coming out, Batman, all the stuff that's happening with Batman right now. If people aren't familiar with it, Bruce Wayne is officially, not officially, but he's dead to the public as far as the comic books are concerned. So the mantle has been passed on to Dick Grayson, who was Nightwing and is now the new Batman, and Bruce Wayne's son, Damian, is now the new Robin. So they're going to be having some focus on that, talking about some Wildstorm stuff, as well as a whole bunch of other things. I'll be posting a full listing on the website so you guys can check it out for yourself and see what's going on, some of the interest and stuff that's going there, so you can start planning your day now. As we approach Comic-Con, which is in, what, 3 weeks, I believe?
Yeah, just about 3 weeks.
And we're all pretty amped about it here, so woohoo! Another little bit of information you guys might want to know about is, as many of you may remember, if you do remember, then you're just as old as we are. There was a TV show out in the 80s called Alien Nation. It was based off of a movie. Brian, I don't know if you remember it at all.
Yeah, I remember. I even sort of remember the movie.
It was a pretty cool film.
Yeah, I have real sort of fragmented memories about the show. Parents were never really big into sci-fi stuff, so I didn't watch that many episodes of it. But I remember, at least as far as the TV show, it was mostly about this guy. It was like a police officer that got teamed up with one of the aliens there. They were sort of like refugees or something like that.
Right, well, basically, what had happened was an alien ship had crash-landed in Los Angeles, or somewhere on the Earth, and so the aliens that were contained within the ship become integrated in with the society of, of humans and stuff on the planet.
Right.
And so the show focused on a cop and his newly assigned alien detective partner, and, they're trying to stop alien on human or alien on alien crimes and such like that. So it was pretty cool TV show back in the 80s. Well, it's being remade for the Sci-Fi Channel, which I find kind of amusing in that they have to be trying to milking the fact that District 9 is coming out, and they're hoping that some of the fanfare from District 9 carries on over into the TV show itself. So we'll see what happens. I'm still excited.
I can say that.
I'm still excited to see the V remake. Maybe this is also trying to tie in with that as well, trying to hop on the coattails of that as well.
Well, one thing I can say about this upcoming thing is that if it's going to be on Sci-Fi, it's going to be extremely underwhelming. Sci-Fi is notorious for having just the absolute worst shite that they like try to call entertainment. I pretty much hate everything that network does.
How can you say that? Battlestar Galactica,
where
the Stargate series.
So Battlestar Galactica, they had one out of how many?
Brian
and Battlestar, I liked, you know, up until the fourth season. Well, it's just to the thing where, you know, when they first started out, when Sci-Fi Channel first started out, it was a great idea. It was a channel, you know, for science fiction, a little bit of fantasy, and then it just kept getting more and more and more into just like this mystical pseudoscientific crap, to the point where they're even changing their name where it's going to be SYFY. So that they can try to distance themselves from the actual science fiction aspect of what they used to be. Most of their shows are fucking ghost hunters and stupid crap like that. And then when they actually have their original movies, the science in them is so bad to the point where it just makes me cringe. So I don't have any expectations at all for Alienation being any good.
Well, see, I'm with you on the movie fact. The Sci-Fi original movies are absolute crap. I mean, they're worse than the ABC remakes of the Stephen King stories. I mean, they're horrible.
Right.
But I love the TV series. I'm a big fan of the Stargate SG-1 and Atlantis, as well as Battlestar Galactica. So I'm interested in seeing what they do with this.
Well, if I suppose they could probably surprise me. I'll at least watch the first episode, see how it goes. You know, that's what I'll give any show. I'll at least watch the first episode. So we'll see.
But I
don't have any expectations for it.
Well, right, but anything's got to be better than the original show. I mean, the original show, as cool as it was absolute crap as far as a sci-fi and storyline. So it's got to be at least a bump up from what the original show was.
Right, but again, I barely even remember the original show, so.
And that's probably what they're banking
sure
on.
Would be retarded as hell.
Right. I'm sure that's what they're banking on, with the fact that nobody remembers the original show. But at the same time, you know, V is coming out, but V had to have been more popular, I'm guessing. They're probably banking on the fact that nobody really remembers.
And I remember V quite well.
Well, that's good for you.
So my parents actually used to watch that show. It was one of the few science fiction themed shows that they actually watched.
Well, like I said, we'll see how it goes. It could be good, it could be bad, but I'm going to give it that chance. Like you said, you know, that first episode, if that first episode doesn't grab me, then screw it. But we'll see what happens. In other news here, Universal's planning to make Asteroids a film, which has to be the most ridiculous video game to film idea I've ever heard of. Asteroids.
Yeah, I think my reaction to this was just, what?
Right. As many of you may remember, 1979, there was a video game called Asteroids, which was just a bunch of pixelated rocks being shot at what looks like a cursor arrow. You know, it's a great, awesome, classic game, but
right.
The fact that they're trying to turn this into a viable film. Okay, so basically any movie that's happened from 1979 to now, where you are on a spaceship and there are asteroids being shot at you or coming at you, anything from Starship Troopers to, Asteroid, you know, any movies in between here and there could have been a basic adaptation.
I'm pretty sure they already did that with Armageddon.
Exactly, Armageddon, Deep Space, all that stuff. But the game is going to feature... Lorenzo de Bonaventura will produce it. No names or anything has been tied on yet. It's a brand new news item that just came out today. So I still think that's freaking ridiculous.
do not how this is going to work at all.
I just don't understand how they're going to manage to tie it into the video game. All it's going to be is a name. You can make any movie where you're on a spaceship dealing with asteroids. Even freaking Star Wars could have been an adaptation of Asteroids, you know? So
right.
All it is going to be a name. Much like, as we were discussing the other day, iRobot was just a name, you know, Bicentennial Man, stuff like that, where they just use the name to garner the popularity and hopefully wheel in the fans to watch the movie. So we'll see how it goes, but I'm calling crap right now. It's going to be crap.
Yeah. Jeez. All right, let's move on.
Another Comic-Con news item that's coming out. For those fans of you that are like me who are reading the Kick-Ass video comic book, which is put out by Mark Millar and drawn by John Romita Jr., there will be exclusive footage premiered at Comic-Con. Thursday, July 23rd. So we're going to have to, I don't care how long the line is, we will be there to see it. Damn it, because I have to see it.
All right. Just don't make me hold your hand.
You're going to hold my hand, and you're going to like it.
I'm not going to like it.
You are going to like it. What else is out there? Oh, for those Harry Potter fans, many of you are familiar with the fact that in the 7th book, there's a character named Scrimgeour. In the movie, he'll be portrayed by Bill Nighy. So, that should be pretty interesting. Again, furthering the fact that J.K. Rowling will not have any American actors in her films based on this. So, anyway, Rufus Scrimgeour is the veteran Auror who becomes the Minister of Magic in the wake of Fudge's departure. For those of you, again, who are familiar with the books. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him. He's an awesome actor, actually, you know. And he does a really good job with the roles.
Not familiar.
Not familiar with Bill Nighy at all?
Not that I can think of.
Bill Nighy, for the others that don't know, he was in Underworld. He was the head vampire in Underworld Part 1 and 2. He was Davy Jones in Pirates of the Caribbean. He was the old washed-up singer in Love Actually. So he's a really good and accomplished actor, and to see that he's taken on the role, you know, hopefully will add some credibility to the role. I'm not saying that any of the Harry Potter movies are bad. I'm pretty amped to see all the rest of them and how they go. I'm just saying that it's nice to see another big name tied to it, you know?
Right. I think I'm going to have to sit down and watch all of the Harry Potter movies again. I think I only got up to movie 4. So, and with the books, I only got up to, like, book 3 or 4. So, I have to catch up before I go see this one. Because the movies are enjoyable, and I got to a point where I just kind of got sick of hearing about Harry Potter and J.K. Rowling. So, but it seems like it's died back a bit, so.
Well, it's died back a bit for now because, you know, they pushed back the release date of the 6th film, which is coming out here soon. I won't say hopefully. It's going to pick back up again here soon because the movie is coming out, I believe, in 2 weeks on the 17th, I believe.
Right.
So the fanfare will rise up and get pretty bad. So if you can... I don't doubt your reading powers. I've seen them happen. You can read up to that point before we go see the midnight showing of Harry Potter, then I suggest you do it, because I am dragging you with me. Because I will not be in that theater with thousands of screaming little teenagers, girls, alone.
Why do you always drag me to the midnight showings?
Because we're geeks, damn it. That's what we do.
Fine.
So that's pretty much covers it for all the news stuff that we've had for this week. We'll go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back. We're going to talk some comics and video games, so we'll be right back, guys.
Hi, this is Justin White of Necrosapien Press and artist of ZKS, the Zombie Kill Squad, and you should come check out ForbiddenPanel.com for all your latest geek needs.
Welcome back, everybody. I haven't actually been reading comics a lot lately. I've been noticing I've been going through these periods of I'll just read a shitload and then stop and read a shitload and stop. So this is one of those times where I didn't really end up reading anything. I just started picking up Ex Machina, just since AJ talked about that a little while ago. And so I haven't read enough of it to really give any input yet, so I'll have to wait on that. The only thing I've really done that I could talk about is started watching this show called Life on Mars, which actually it's probably little bit old to be talking about, but it's an interesting show, and the characters are all pretty interesting. And then Gretchen Mol is really hot, so it's got that going for it. But it seems like it's a pretty accurate portrayal of the 70s. I obviously was only alive for the last 2 years of the 70s, so I can't really say, but at least from based off of everything that I know about the 70s, you know, from my parents and everything, and just the costumes and everything, seem pretty accurate. And it's kind of funny showing the contrast of this one guy who has all of his memories from 2008. But the show basically is about this guy. He's a detective in the North Police Department, who, while he's out on one of his calls, ends up getting run down by a car. And when he wakes up in the middle of the street, he's back in 1973, New York, and starts really, the show kind of sets it up so that you're starting to wonder, like, did he die? And is he in, like, some sort of weird hell? Is he in a coma and just dreaming it? Did something else happen to him? Is he just gone crazy? Because they keep showing flashes of his life, and he keeps experiencing, like, has, like, sort of, like, weird, I don't really know if they're hallucinations or what it is. It seems, I don't really want to describe a lot of them, because I think it kind of would give away where they're leading up to with this story, and I don't know, maybe they'll pull the rug out from underneath me once it gets to the end. But it's pretty entertaining, and there's a little bit of, like, cheesiness, and you have to kind of get over the fact that they'll keep showing you stuff and not really give you any answers. I'm assuming it's all coming at the end, because some of the stuff that happens, like some of the visions and things that he has, are just really bizarre, and I don't know where they're going with it yet. But I'll keep watching. From what I understand, though, that this show got canceled after a season.
Right, that was one of the heartbreaking things about the show. I was a huge fan of the show when it first came out, and I watched all of it, and I loved it. But, you know, they canceled it after one season, and it's because nobody else could get it. It's one of those shows that was converted from originally a BBC TV show series, and then converted over to the American cinema. So not a lot of people got the show, and Brian, I'm sure you're understanding that now as you're watching it, is that there's a lot of vague references and a lot of stuff going on that doesn't really get explained.
Yeah, it definitely requires you to pay a little bit of attention to what's going on. And then there's just a lot of really sort of weird, surrealist kind of stuff that happens in the show, with especially the things that he sees and the visions that he has. You don't really know what the point of them is, and I think it was meant to set up to be a much more involved show. And then, you know, they canceled and had to kind of just wrap it all up.
Yeah. So. Well, as I've stated before, BBC series are run about 6 to 7 episodes a season. Mm-hmm. So what they did was, this show is still going strong in England. It's evolved into another title, because in the original show, Sam, who's the main character, wakes up in the 70s, and then something happens, and he wakes up in the 80s. And so the 80s show is currently the series that's running on right now in England. Unfortunately, because they tried to make, 22 episodes out of this series here, they ended up combining a lot of the elements from the BBC show over here, like first and second season, and then ran out of story ideas. I don't know. You'll see what happens. I'm interested in your opinion as to how the entire series pans out and whether or not you like it, and then we can discuss the last episode when you're done, once you're done watching it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to check it out. And that's really about the only thing I've been doing. Well, how about you? What comics and TV shows have you been doing lately?
TV shows, not really too much lately. As we all know, it's the summer season, so the only thing really to watch is Burn Notice. That's the only thing worthwhile watching anyway. So I've been preoccupied myself. Yeah, Burn Notice, I really dig. I'm not chomping down on it. I'm just glad it's out there. Sad it's the only thing that we have to watch, you know. But I've been preoccupying my time with other things. So for example, Ghostbusters the video game. This came out last week, and I played it. I played it to hell, beat the crap out of it, and yeah. So this game, for anybody who's familiar with the Ghostbusters franchise, you got these four guys who are trying to bust ghosts in New York. So the video game picks up immediately, well, not immediately, it picks up 2 years after Ghostbusters 2. And you're basically training this new guy to become a new Ghostbuster and member of the team, and you go from there. Gameplay-wise, it's a little simple in the gameplay. You actually can relate, like when you're throwing a stream and capturing a ghost, you know, there's no linear line, the line is all over the place. And you're trying to wheel in the ghost into the trap, and so you're struggling with the controller, and that aspect of it, you almost can understand what it feels like to be a Ghostbuster. And I think they did a really awesome job on that. Graphic-wise...
So there's no aiming reticle?
No, not really. Well, there is, but you gotta kind of try to, like... I don't know. It's not a straight shot, basically. And then once you have the ghost, it's like playing a fishing game in Zelda. You know, you gotta reel it this way and reel it that way, and try and make it weaker and lure it into the trap while you're doing it. So it's a real struggle, and it can be a pain in the ass sometimes, but if you're a fan of Ghostbusters, you know that that's what's going to happen, you know, so you expect
right.
it. And they did get a really good job of transferring that into the gameplay. Graphics, oh my god, this thing is pretty. It is really, really pretty. And if you've got a 1080p TV, which I do not have, then you'll understand how you'll see all the details that they go into, the slime, the shine, the tones of the colors, everything. They do a really, really good job. Voice acting, you can't argue with it because they brought everybody back. Ernie Hudson, Bill Murray, Ivan Reitman, and Dan Aykroyd. They brought them all back. They even brought back Peck, who was the annoying guy in part one that shut down the containment unit. They brought back the mayor.
Right.
They brought back Vigo. They brought back everybody. All the voice acting is back. Annie Potts is in there. So the only person they didn't bring back was Sigourney Weaver. They gave a new female lead character, and that was voiced by Alyssa Milano, who did a good job as well. So, and even the cast themselves, Dan Aykroyd and Ivan Reitman, they both said this is basically part three to the story. So if you're a fan of the series and you like the stories, this is part three, and you get to learn more about what's going on. It is part of the storyline. So, overall, I give Ghostbusters
That's cool.
a good 8 or 9, you know. Good thumbs up. It's a great game. Not a perfect 10, but it's really good. And I advise you check it out. Oh, and the Proton Packs have upgrades. So you get four different types. You get the same Proton Pack, but it has four different attachments on it. You get the regular Stream Thrower. You get the Slime. You get this one blue one that slows the ghosts down to almost freezing them, and then you can shatter them apart. And then you get another one, which is a Mason accelerator, which is almost like a machine gun for the Proton
right.
Pack. And you buy upgrades and all this stuff. It also has an online multiplayer aspect to it, which I didn't get to. But I hear it's pretty awesome as well. So if you got a chance, go pick up the game. It's pretty cool.
Sounds awesome. Of course, I need to get a PS3 before I can play it.
Yeah. No, it should be available on the Wii.
Yeah, that's true. It'd probably actually be pretty fun on the Wii. I'll have to check it out.
The only problem I had with this is that it's a problem, but at the same time, I didn't mind it so much, is that, you know, the PlayStation 3 has the 6-axis controller, and they could have used that as far as, you know, integrating it into the gameplay. I think it would have made for more interesting gaming. But they were probably trying to save the lives of some TVs, so they didn't want to make it too bad. But yeah, dude.
That's right. PS3's got its own Wii remote coming out soon.
Yeah, yes, it does, and that'll be fun as well.
Well, have you got anything else? Any comics you've been reading?
Yeah, actually, I started reading yesterday. I sat down and started reading Robert Kirkman's Invincible, which is put out on the Image line.
Heard a lot of good things about it.
Yeah, well, as many of you know out there, we here are huge fans of The Walking Dead, which is Kirkman's other mm-hmm. book that he writes. So I decided to give Invincible a try, having heard about it and seen it laying around and stuff. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll give Kirkman's Invincible a try. Well, you know, why not? It can't hurt. I sat down, read through issue 1. That was yesterday. I'm now on issue number 38. I've Twittered this fact that, damn you, Robert Kirkman, for getting me addicted to another book. It's cool. I mean, it's not great, but the series is really, really cool and really interesting. I'm really digging it. Let me give you a little backstory about it. Invincible is basically based on this character named Mark Grayson, who is an extraterrestrial, and, you know, okay, I can't do this without comparing it to Superman. So basically, the character's father lands on Earth, he's an alien, and decides, you know, I'm going to use my powers to help people out. And in the process, he meets a human chick, they have a kid, and here we have Invincible. And the story picks up, basically, Invincible has just basically hit puberty. He realizes he has powers. The family's like, okay, cool, you know, and it goes from there. And he's trying to learn to accept his powers and how to use them while at the same time trying to fight bad people. Now, yeah, it seems pretty dull and boring and pretty status quo of what we've seen before. Yeah, come around to issue 11, Robert Kirkman says, fuck you. And just messes all that up and tears apart everything that you thought was going to happen in this series. And it turns out it changes from being a normal comic book series that you would see all the time to a really individualized entity that grows into its own. And that's when it just, I don't know, it grabs you and it takes you and it runs with it. And Kirkman does an awesome job with the storyline. So, again, I'm on issue 38. One day I sat down, I read 38 freaking issues. I'm going to spend today reading the other 38 because there's only 63 issues in the series right now. It's an ongoing series. The trade paperbacks are out. There's 11 volumes of them. There's even MTV2 did one of those animated motion comic books where you can read about it. It's awesome. It's been out since 2003. I'm glad I didn't read it until now because, again, as you know, Brian, I hate things that cliffhang. I hate weeklies and
stuff. Or ongoing.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is one of those where, again, I lucked out and I'm reading up to 63. Hopefully the series, I mean, I don't know. I'd like to see the series go on and be successful, but at the same time, I'm like, I hope I don't have to keep going back every week to try and buy these things because I hate that stuff. So,
right.
Yeah. And the cool thing about it is the trade paperbacks are all named after 80s TV shows. So volume one is...
That's awesome.
Volume one is Family Matters. Volume two is Eight is Enough. Volume three, Perfect Strangers. Volume four, Head of the Class. Five is Facts of Life, Different World. Three is Company, My Favorite Martian, Out of This World, Who's the Boss, and Happy Days. So, and believe me, those titles, they all relate to the story that's happening inside the comic. So if you get a chance...
I'll have to go and pick up some of the trades.
Yeah, pick it up, read it. It's great. It's violent. It's bloody. But also at the same time, you're like, it's just a really good job writing. Because he flips around for what you think you should know about superheroes and living in a regular world. He just twists it around, and he does a really good job at it. And I hate you, Robert Kirkman. Damn you for getting me addicted to another one of your series. Bastard. So, yeah, that's what I've been reading.
Right. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up everything as far as this segment goes. I don't really have any more to contribute.
Awesome.
So we'll go ahead and take a break and be right back.
Forbidden Panel is currently looking for artists. If you or someone you know would like to join us, please visit www.forbiddenpanel.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Panelcast. So this will be the last segment we do in the show, and in the segment we wanted to talk to our audience a little bit. We've recently discovered that some of you may be feeling a little bit of intimidation when it comes to registering and posting on the website, and we wanted to address that fact. Please don't think that when you come onto the site that we're all just a bunch of elitists and that we're going to blast you for your opinion or anything like that when you come on the site. We basically want to welcome everybody with open arms, and we value all the opinions that you guys have, and we want to know them.
Right. Because, you know, I mean, we, at least for us when we're doing the panel cast, we obviously have differing opinions on certain things. Transformers comes to mind as one of the most prominent ones. And, you know, we have disagreements about things, and that's fine. I think, really, we need to have a lot of different opinions on the site. That's what sort of makes a community. Exactly. They don't all want to have just one voice.
Exactly, because at that point we just become mindless drones, you know, and there's no point in that. We welcome your opinions, we welcome all that stuff, and honestly, you're getting outright hazed because you're a new person on the site, or feel that you're being treated as a noob, please just email us and we'll address the situation immediately. Because we don't want you to feel like that. We want you to feel welcome. This is a home that we're inviting you into, basically. So please don't feel that way.
Certainly.
We welcome all sorts of opinions and such when you come on the site, especially when it comes to the panel cast. And after you're done listening to the episode, if you feel like you have something you wanted to add or anything, please post in the comments section immediately afterwards. We welcome it, honestly, because it lets us know that people are actually listening to us. So.
Right. And I like knowing when people want to tell me why they think I'm wrong. I like having a little bit of a discourse on, you know, debating the pros and cons of certain movies or comics or anything really that we talk about. I welcome it. So if you think that my opinions about something are wrong, or you happen to appreciate something more than I do, come on and tell us about it. We're not going to, you know, get mad or kick you off the site or anything for it. We want to have the differing opinions about things.
Exactly. We welcome them. Come bring them on. Another thing I wanted to address is membership. When you guys register for a site, you have to wait to be approved. And no, it's not us judging you or deciding if we think you're cool enough to join the site. It's us basically saying, okay, are you a spammer? Are you a real-life human being? Stuff like that. So it's not that we're like, you know, looking at applications going, oh no, they're not fucking cool. Oh no, fuck them. No, it's us trying to do it. It's for your security, actually. It's us just making sure that we're not going to get spammed, or none of your, or the site's not going to get hacked or anything like that. So when you register, we're making sure that you're not a bot. So.
Yeah, our original site was just loaded with porn spam. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, and it got to the point where this is actually the second version of our site, and we're working on a version 3.0 as well. But we set it up this way for your security as well as for the security of all the stuff that we post up here, because we don't want any of that stuff going on. If you want, while we enjoy and actually ask that you post links to other informative or cool sites that you may know of, or your own personal website, or pimp yourself out, we have no problem with that. We just want to make sure that you're not a bot, and that's not the only reason you're on here for this, for that. You know, this is part of a community, again, like we said, and we want opinions as well as, you know, we want to get to know you, too, and make sure that you're not a spamming porn robot that wants me to look at child porn and talk about my penis size. Because you can listen to the panel cast, and we'll talk about penis size all day.
Yeah. But without, you know, bringing extends or Enzyte into it.
Right. So, when you register for the site, you have to be approved. And I do pretty much approve everybody unless I think they're a bot. If they are, if you have been, if you've been turned away for that reason, please just email me directly and say, hey, I'm not a bot. Please let me register on the site. And I'll approve you, no problem. But check your emails immediately after you register, because when I approve you, you get an email stating, hey, you've been approved, please go here to validate your registration, and then you can post right away. So please feel free to do
so. Yeah, it's really painless.
Yeah, check your spam box too. If you're not getting that approval, check your spam box, because sometimes it may end up in there. So yeah, we welcome everybody. Please join the site. Tell us what you think. Tell us you hate us. We don't care. Just come on and talk. Please, damn it. We're lonely.
We are so lonely.
So yeah, and going off of that fact, last episode we held a trivia. Brian, do you feel like reading over the questions of the trivia?
Yeah, the questions that we had on the trivia were, we had three questions, and all three of them had to be answered correctly. The questions were, what are AJ and mine's last name? Who was the original artist on the Maid's webcomic, and the other one was, who was one of the original, who, aside from AJ, who was the other co-founder of Forbidden Panel?
And, well, over tons of overwhelming emails. And I know that we said we weren't going to announce the winner till sometime next week, but we actually had a winner soon. So we're going to go ahead and announce the winner this week, as well as the answers. Brian, what are the answers to those questions?
The answer to question number one, which I believe was, who was the original artist on Maids? That would be Brandon. He appeared on podcast a few times, and we had him on back, I think, before we really got our new format going. He was the one that originally did all of the sketches for Maids before it got turned over to me to do the inking. For question number two, which was, what are AJ's and my last name? AJ's last name is Herrera, and my last name is Kreusch. And then the last question was, who was the other co-founder of Forbidden Panel? And that would be Ryan Kane.
That's right.
And the winner of that, the first person to contact us with all three correct answers was named, is it Tavia? Is that the name?
Yes, Tavia, I believe.
Am I saying that right? Tavia.
Yep, so she won. She contacted us with all the answers. And, you know, honestly, I got to give her props because there's a lot of research she had to do in order to find it. And especially with this being her, it was her first day on the site, and she just got amped and went after it and dug up all the answers. So, congratulations, Tavia. You won the trivia prize. We'll be sending you two original pieces of artwork, one from John C. Narcomi Jr. of High Tower Comics, as well as Justin White of Necrosapien Press and the artist of ZKS. So, Tavia, if you could email me your full name and mailing address, then we'll go ahead and get that stuff shipped out to you. And congratulations.
I'm kind of jealous.
You should be. Is that you crying?
Yeah. I'm trying to stifle back the tears.
Hold it back. You can do it. So, yeah, there you go. She won the prize. We'll get that sent out to you. We'll also post on the message board that she's the winner. People hop out there, congratulate her and stuff. We'll be doing another piece of trivia, I'd say, in the next week or two. As soon as we can think of some harder questions.
Yeah. No, but we're definitely going to try to make this a more regular segment, you know, if the popularity is there for it. So, but I think this, all in all, was a good first attempt, and I'm glad that somebody really took it to heart and really, nailed this one, pretty much.
Yeah, nailed it. Good job. We wanted to bring up a couple other things before we head out the door. Brian's second episode of Geek Girls is up. I think he's doing a really good job with it, and if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, please take a listen. It's really interesting, and it's really cool.
Yeah, I really enjoy doing this segment, as I've mentioned before. It's great. I also have episode number 3 is recorded and is being edited right now, so look for that one to come up in the next week or so. And I've got more interviews lined up, so if you want to be featured on a Geek Girl segment, send me an email, Brian with a Y at forbiddenpanel.com, and that's not Brian, WITHAY. That's just spell Brian with a Y.
And there's a misconception that I've been hearing as well for the Geek Girls show, so it's something I wanted Brian to talk about real quick. You do not have to be a model to be on the Geek Girls.
No, not at all. It's just, it when I first started doing it, and I'm trying to find people, I broached the subject, since I have a membership with DeviantNation, I broached the subject there, because there's a lot of girls, not just because Inti herself is not a model. She's just one of my online friends, and I plan on doing this with everyone else. It's just that a lot of the girls, the models on DeviantNation, are all really into comics or video games and stuff like that. So when I put up a thing asking if anybody wanted to do it, I got quite a good response from it. So it's coming down to who is available to actually have the time to do it. So I don't require you to be a model or anything like that. It's something I don't care about, it's, and for me, it's not about promoting any sort of sexuality or anything like that. I want girls that are into geeky stuff. If you want to come on and talk about computers or gaming because you build your own computers or you have some comics or books or whatever thing that you do that is a, you know, just contributes to the geek culture, that's something that you know, is kind of geeky, then I'll be happy to bring you on and we'll sit down and talk about it.
That's right.
This is more about promoting women in the geek culture rather than just, you know, talking to models. So yeah, not all of the girls I'm talking to are models. Well, I mean, if that's something you got going and you want to talk about it, that's fine. You know, I've got some girls that have come on that, you know, want to sort of downplay that. So it's fine. I don't care. I just, whatever it is that you feel comfortable talking about, that's what we'll talk about.
Right. And Brian doesn't care if you're a model or not. He doesn't care anything about any of that stuff. All the prerequisites contained are female geek, period.
Right. So that's it.
Make sure if you want to be on the show, or if you want to express interest in being on the show, contact him, bryan@forbiddenpanel.com. Otherwise, don't get offended if he contacts you to be on the show as well. So, because we want, again, it's just investigating the female side into geekdom, which I'm sure us as being guys who are basically, I wouldn't say new to it, but it's kind of a cool thing for us to see, you know. So it's got to be cool for other guys to see it as well. So that's what we're interested in. So there you go.
Yeah.
And don't be
the shows seem to be pretty popular, so.
Yeah, it's getting good hits, and like I said, I dig the show. I like it, and I know other people do too. So, and please give it a listen. Post replies. We do require, again, as I stated earlier in this segment, that you register on the site in order to post replies, because that way we know you're not posting some sort of, you know, you're not trying to hack the site or spam the site. Register on the site and
right.
Just start posting comments away. Even if you want to hear Brian ask other questions, ask them other questions. You know, all the models that he's talked to have agreed, or not models, I'm sorry, all the girls that he's spoken to have all agreed to be back on the show again. So any questions that you may have,
right,
that you,
yeah,
think
if you
missed,
want to give me,
then he'll ask.
Yeah,
them.
If you want to contribute anything, if anybody wants to contribute any questions to the site, if you have any specific questions about the female side of geekdom that you want answered, or you think the questions that I'm asking are not good enough and you want to contribute some better ones, go ahead. We'll try to do, maybe in the future, set it up where I'll announce who it is that I'm going to be interviewing, as I can get this scheduling worked out a little bit better so that people can contribute questions to it.
And then once that happens, we'll post them up on the calendar that we have on the website. I don't know if any of you noticed, but we have a calendar there. And then we can post the upcoming interviews that are going to happen there, and you can email or post responses to, you know, questions that you want to hear asked of these people. And with that, I believe we're done with the show. So we want to remind everybody to please visit our friends' websites, HightowerComics.com, Necrosapien.net, BrandyOffset.com, as well as EpicShield.net. Please continue to visit ForbiddenPanel.com. We value your feedback. Let us know what you think. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns that you don't want voiced in a public forum, you can email us, panelcast@forbiddenpanel.com, or directly aj@forbiddenpanel.com and brian@forbiddenpanel.com. So this has been episode 31. Brian, do you have any final words before we walk out the door?
Just want to thank everyone for listening.
Good, yeah, what he said. Alright guys, thanks a lot, and we'll catch you guys next week with episode 32.
Move on, so believe me when I tell you, you'll feel stronger when they're gone. They have to learn to respect themselves before.